Welcome to After the Buzzer from what I am now dubbing the world headquarters.
Indeed.
Of our empire.
I should get a plaque.
I don't know why I've changed that, but I have. It's no longer merely a man cave. It's now the world headquarters. I'm Mike Gross, Gordy Jones. My partner is alongside and alongside the two of us because it's high school football season. It's coming. Tomorrow night, there are high school football games all over Pennsylvania. And my colleague at LNP Media Group, who kind of is the lead guy for high school football. And by the way,
this ought to be good.
This is a dangerous.
Right. Wow.
This is a dangerous.
you may be familiar with the biographies of Robert Caro of presidents,
of course, yes.
Voluminous.
Yes. LBJ, etc.
They are relatively sparse compared to the material that this guy turns out in August in anticipation of football season.
Wow.
He is Jeff Reinhardt of LNP. Rhines, welcome, my man.
Thank you, Mike. I think that was the greatest intro I've ever gotten.
Yeah, well,
that was pretty awesome, man.
It's
thank you.
I calls him like I sees him. So we had the strangest high school football season ever last year. Because we all know why, because we had the strangest human experience last year. This year, we're hoping for normalcy, but we're not so sure.
No, we're not. And, you know, I think we were all planning for normalcy, and then whammo, out of the chute, three games got postponed. Elko, in our neck of the woods.
In our league, yeah.
Elko, Anvil-Cleona, and Pequay Valley. Anvil-Cleona's dealing with it. Pequay Valley and Elko, their opponents, are dealing with it. So three week one games were already bagged before we got to the starting line, which is a little disappointing.
I don't think it's going to be the restrictions are not going to be as onerous as they were last year. And I think there's a good chance that we will be able to play a complete season. But
There is that. But who knows?
We're not sure. Yeah. And if we're dealing with this in week one, we're probably going to be dealing with it in week three and week five and week seven and week nine on some level.
And Anvil-Cleona plays next Thursday. They're dealing with it. So I don't know if they're going to have kids back because they have to practice. They have to have the 5 days of practice.
Right.
They have to come back and practice.
That's right.
So I don't know if Anvil can get back to play next Thursday night. So who knows?
So is there any uniformity to the number of people that can be at games? Or is it just from one district to the next as far as...
I think it's from one district to the next. And one of the things that we constantly grappled with last year with this is what's the relationship between state government, PIAA, and individual school districts. And I think the way that, generally speaking, the way it played out was individual school districts get to make that call, which is how things are supposed to work, in my view, how things are supposed to work in America. Public schools are controlled by local public school boards and administrations. That's how it played out.
I haven't heard of any yet that are going to have restrictions. And you know, on the Twitter machine, all you know, every kid on every team is like, can't wait to see a full house Friday night.
We'll see how that works.
I know. Yeah, I have a. I'm holding my breath. I really am. I don't know. I'd love normal. I'd love to see a packed crowd. But I don't know, man. Tread lightly.
So what's it going to be like coverage-wise for each of you? I mean, how do you cover these games? How does it affect what you do? How does it affect your approach? How does it affect, you know, where you're sitting, what you're doing after the game? I'm just curious how you guys approach this.
Well, it's that varied. Last year, varied somewhat from school to school. There was only one game where I wasn't allowed in the press box. Mm-hmm. And I sat outside in the bleachers and tried to do, and it was windy.
Oh my God.
It was at my alma mater, too. It was at Cedar Crest.
Oh, geez.
That's the only one. But I'm going to Cedar Crest tomorrow night, and that's not going to be it. I've already communicated with the AD. That's become a standard.
Did you utter the sentence, don't you know who I am?
Yeah. God, no. And by the way, if I ever do, kill me. There's nothing I hate more.
Oh God, can you imagine?
Please kill me.
First of all, I don't know anyone who has that mindset, like, ever. And secondly, would you want to be around anybody who has that mindset?
Oh, never ever would drop that
good line. God. But anyway, there were times when it was you know, less than ideal, but it was okay. Yeah. We were able to do it.
First couple of two, 3 weeks, I was outside. Uh-huh. Solanco, I was outside. I don't.
Well, you're usually a sideline guy, aren't you?
I used to be, but you know, I'm not as spry as I used to be. So you know, I don't.
It only gets worse.
Yeah, the eyesight's going, and I'll take a nice cushy chair and a press box.
And that always astounds me. People who did it from the sideline. Yeah, I never understood that. However, it's even harder to do that now because we got to tweet during the game.
Tweeting and I mean, I like to find a place where I can have my laptop so I can tweet and take notes.
That is actually one of the real, I guess, maybe drawbacks is the wrong word, but just one of the real complexities of covering high school sports in any sport now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's got to be like an in the moment thing in addition to what it used to be, you know, an after the fact thing.
And honestly, I understand why.
Sure. Because that's the world in which we live.
That's where other people are looking for.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was one, we were at the on the road with Penn State. And we were sitting at a hotel bar, and maybe it wasn't you, I think. And we were following high school football on Twitter night, and it was kind of fun to.
I don't remember that.
Maybe it wasn't you.
Here's what I remember. Else. I remember one time you and I were both tweeting at a Penn State game, and some guy was complaining that we weren't providing play by play as opposed to our usual clever repartee.
Yeah, that's right. Really? I remember that. I remember that too. We're not providing play by play on a Penn State game.
2 years ago, I had an intern with me on opening. Opening week of football, might have been week two, when I had an intern with me, he was tagging along, and you know, and I'm on my laptop and I'm tweeting and I'm taking notes and I'm keeping stats and I'm watching the game, and he stops me and he goes, how are you doing all of this?
Right.
And well, I said, well, choose your career. This is part of it, buddy.
It does beg the question, is it not a two-person operation anymore, any single game, because of that? In a perfect world,
ideally.
Wouldn't that be the thing to do?
And you know, Age Wojo from ESPN, the great NBA guy, I read a profile of him a while ago, and he said, I never got the big internship like at the New York Times or Sports Illustrated, so I had to go get a job at a newspaper and cover high school football games, and I'm so glad I did, because after that, everything else was easier.
There's a lot of truth in that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of truth in that.
Everything else was easier. And keeping that box score, very few people outside of our circle realize what that is.
Starting a game is...
Yes. So anyway, last year, this is something we talked before we started, how it's like it was the weirdest season ever. And I didn't even realize this until I read your fine tabloid, which came out Wednesday, correct? So that death taxes and Wilson still wins the section title, even though it's the most messed up season.
Yeah, pretty much. They're good.
But the other thing that jumped out at me in the tabloid, Doug Doms is entering his 16th year. His record is 161-31. So basically, they're a 10-2 team every year. Yeah. And the other thing, and this always amazes me every year, it's basically a half century, and it's, you know, John Gursky, Jerry Slemmer, Jim Cantafio, and him, and they're always good.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that'll be, and what is it? Is it their feeder programs? Is it just mindset? Is that what it is?
A lot of it's feeder. I remember going to a Wilson practice a couple years ago now, 3-4 years ago. I went to interview whoever, and I hadn't been there in a while, and I got out of my car, and the entire complex out behind Gursky Stadium, grass field, all kids, all practicing football, and my jaw dropped, and I was
probably
like,
all running the same sets,
probably.
From,
I'm thinking
from fifth grade on,
yeah, and I'm thinking, wow, and I'm talking to whoever, Tom, I'm like, oh, who are all these people? He's like, oh, that's the fifth grade team, and that's eighth grade team. And I was like, wow.
One time at media day, I asked him, "What do you do? Run down for me what you do 12 months a year. What did the entire program, what do they do in the off season, basically?" And he talked for 15 minutes. I mean, in January and February, we have the linemen in, and they, you know, it was like that. He talked like that for 10, 15 minutes. And so I guess it's just the whole community, the parents, everybody's on board.
It's sort of self-sustaining. I mean, it must be, but, you know, 50 years, literally 50 years.
And to go through four coaches who are very different personalities and X and O philosophies and all of that.
I'm sorry.
No. They almost didn't play last year. If you recall, yeah. Wilson, they had to go to the school board and like beg yeah. them. Yeah. And all the football parents and all the football kids came to these meetings and said, yeah. let us play, please.
I forgot about
it. It wasn't a unanimous vote, but That's it was...
I can understand that. Yeah, well, here's something. This is just a little sidelight about Doms. I wrote about him a couple years ago. And he's, first of all, he's a Lebanon Valley grad, which I did not know. He's like a multi-sport guy at Lebanon Valley. And in the off season, I think he runs like the ski club, and you think he's a math professor or a...
I thought he was the head of the science
That's
department.
What it is.
The chairman of the science department.
But yeah. the one thing that really jumped out to me was, I don't know what it's been like in recent years, but when I did this story, it was in 2015. He takes a group of kids to Jamaica every year. And like, you know, not the spectacular part, the impoverished
not
part.
Not for vacation.
Right? Yeah. And basically they do community service, and he just talked about how they all come back changed, and how he the point that they're left with is, you know, where you are and what you have is an accident of birth. And I just think that says so much about what he is and who he
unique
is.
Unique individual.
Yeah, because obviously
not a typical football coach.
Right. Yeah. I mean, obviously every Friday night or, you know, whatever time frame you want to put it, he wants to win and he's a competitive guy. But he has a much larger worldview, I think, than the average coach.
So. He coaches track every year.
Yeah, he's a track coach. Right. He was not at Media Day this year because he was in Jamaica on that trip.
Oh, they were doing that trip.
Yes,
right.
And somebody told me what he built this time, but I forget what it was, a house or something.
Yeah,
but
I think they do stuff like that every year. But I just thought it was interesting how he said all the kids there, they're always changed by just having this perspective, and just the whole that phrase accident of birth has stuck with me ever since I talked about that.
It's a unique individual. Yeah, he really
he's
is
great to deal with.
And some of these guys, now we lost one of them. I'm talking about football coaches who are not typical football coaches. We lost one of them, the guy from LS,
John Mannion.
Great guy. Moved on, so it'll be interesting to see how that works out. He was one of those guys, like kind of exhibit A of that.
Nicest guy. Yeah. Just the coolest, nicest guy.
Yeah.
Win, lose, or draw, he would stand there and talk to you for 10 minutes.
And could really coach.
Obviously. They have that program really rolling. Now, here's a... I wanted to go on to Section 2, which was won last year by Warwick. Now, Warwick, speaking of COVID, they did not get a chance to play Governor Mifflin for the district championship. I'm curious about, you know, what your perspective, the two of you, would have been about a game like that, because that's obviously a really high-level game with big-time recruits on both sides. Well,
They forfeited a district final. Right. You mean what would have happened?
Yeah, how do you think that would have unfolded?
I think Governor Mifflin would have been a slight favorite in that game, but I don't know.
It would have been at Mifflin.
Yeah.
But, man, and Warwick, if I recall, they barely won that district game. It was like 14-13. Like, they held on by the skin of their teeth to win that against New Oxford. They barely won.
Yeah. Is that a look-ahead game, or what was that?
Maybe. Might have been. And maybe. I talked to Locker after the game on the field, and we had heard rumblings that there was something going on in the school. And Locker looked right at me that Friday night. So it was Saturday game, actually, the New Oxford game. And he said, I don't think we're going to play next week. He said, I'll find out Monday morning. He said, I'd be very surprised if we play.
And so who knows what psychology... That factored into the door performance.
They knew they weren't playing.
Because we had been hearing that for a few days, maybe a week or
That would have been a heck of a game, and that's the best Warwick team.
Oh yeah,
that probably they're going to have
probably ever.
I mean, they got the left tackle for Wisconsin and the big 33 quarterback and a Westchester tight end and a Cincinnati recruit. That would have been a heck of a game. I probably would have picked Mifflin, but it might have been really close.
Yeah. And Mifflin went to the state semifinals and lost in a close, wild, back-and-forth game to Pine Richland. Who ended up winning the state championship. So that's how
and
close.
And then they got rid of their coach. And then about that.
Yeah. Pine Richland.
Yeah. So that's interesting. It would have been interesting to see it anyway. I wanted to go back to Section 1 for just a second. I mean, Manheim Township obviously is... a program that's been rolling for a while now, and they have a big-time wide receiver, a Penn State recruit named Anthony Ivey. I wonder if you could just offer some perspective on his abilities and how you see things unfolding for young Anthony.
Yeah, I knew freshman year he was a D1 kid. He's got the look.
That good, huh?
Sleek, fast, got the moves. I mean, I remember Mark Evans telling me early in his freshman year, hey, watch this kid, you know, kind of gave me the elbow. He's like, watch this kid. We're going to get him on the field early, and he's going to be good. Just lightning fast, runs great routes. great hands.
He's, as I was saying earlier, he has not had a lot of the, like, games where he has 12 catches in a game.
No.
He has not that, but he's a big play guy for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, he's elite.
He'll have, like, 5 catches for 203 yards and 3 touchdowns.
That's big yardage.
Yeah,
be,
you know.
Big yardage.
He averaged 23 yards a catch last year.
That's so pretty good in any league.
Not bad. Yeah. And he returns punts and kicks. And,
yeah, that's the other
he'll
thing.
Play some,
yeah.
He'll play some DB.
Does he remind you of anybody who's at Penn State now? Any of their receivers now?
I think he's going to be a little bigger and more physical than Dotson.
Mm-hmm.
He might be Godwin.
He might be that
type. Now
that's a pretty good comparison.
You know, Godwin really had its super elite ball skills.
Yeah, he did.
You know, and
yeah,
still,
he
does.
Yeah.
Still does. Still does. He's on the team that won the stinking Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, let's not talk about that.
Right.
That hurt.
Green Bay Packers
fan
in the room.
Sorry about
that.
So I'm not saying he's going to be that good or anything like that. But I'm just talking body type. I think that I think that's about the same profile. Yeah.
Okay. So LS won Section 3, and they won districts last year. Well, what's up with them this year, you think?
They got cleaned out.
Yeah.
They won 2 district titles in a row, and then everybody graduated.
But there's some depth in that program, right?
Absolutely.
Because they've had it rolling for a few years.
Yeah, I remember Mike saying this a lot last year. That's a program.
Yeah.
You know, that's depth. I mean, Mannion really led them to great things.
Of course, Mannion's not there
and
now.
He's not. But Victor Ridenour's the guy, and he was his assistant for 14 years.
Well, there you go. So they shouldn't skip a beat, you wouldn't think.
Probably not. Just a different personnel. I mean, Nick Del Grande's the kid everybody knows. O-tackle, linebacker. He's going to Coastal Carolina.
Right.
The
Chanticleers.
Thank you.
You're going to get that from either one of us.
Yeah, really. I was waiting for it. And he's a stud, and he's a linebacker of the year and a really good O-tackle.
He's a nice kid, too.
Yeah,
he played basketball, too.
Yeah, personable. Yeah, he knows he gets a lot of attention, and he kind of eases up to it, and he's a good dude.
And he was one of your cover boys with Ryan Brubaker in the tabloid. And
yes.
I know I'm getting old now, Ryan Brubaker, Jeff Brubaker's son, speaking of Wilson, the former Conestoga Valley Penn State offensive lineman and a longtime assistant to Doug Doms at Wilson. So I thought it was interesting, the story that John Walk wrote about the two of them, about Del Grande and Brubaker, how Jeff actually breaks down Ryan's film every Saturday and goes over.
Yeah.
That must be. I would love to see that. I would love to see what they see.
John did a really good job of that story.
He did.
Was great. They're in the airport together.
Yeah.
And I thought he did a really nice job with that.
I did like that. But I thought that just struck me as really interesting. I can just picture them, you know, these two huge guys sitting on the couch. Saying,
yeah, really.
Look, what are you doing there? What is that?
I was at CB when Jeff was at CB. He's 2 years ahead of me. He was 86. I was 88. A fun Ryan story. He's a swimmer. This kid swims.
That's unusual.
He swims. And we did a story on him last winter about his swimming prowess.
I remember the picture. That picture was amazing.
That was an amazing picture that Chris Knight took.
Yes, Knight.
Amazing picture.
Out.
And not that we had anything to do with it at all. But he told me this. He said after that was out and got online and got around, that's when he started getting all these offers
Isn't
and all these calls.
When he walked into Media Day this year. Now, he actually was a little bit undersized.
Mm-hmm.
As of when he was being recruited for an offensive lineman who's going to play in the SEC. When he walked into Media Day this year.
Wow.
Huge. Holy crap.
Every time I see him, he's bigger.
Yeah.
Every time.
So,
you know,
he's come a long way physically. Yeah.
The swimming thing is interesting, though, because I would think that's really good for a football player. After you've been knocked around, you know, for however many weeks and months, and then to go in the pool.
That's a good point. Yeah.
You know, I would think that the recuperative part
might
of that
be a recovery
and
conditioning at the same time.
Absolutely. Yeah, he told me that.
That's
he said
a good call.
It keeps me in shape, and I work different muscles.
Yeah.
And
sure.
It's helped him a ton.
And you're not taking, you're not taking the pounding, you know, their body is not taking
from
running alone.
He's an interesting kid, very cerebral. He's going to do poli-sci, and he takes his time and he answers every question, and he's a really, really nice kid.
So 2 years in a row now, the cover boys for this have been offensive linemen. So.
Well, that's not a bad thing. Just to fill in our listeners, Ryan is going to South Carolina, so that'll be interesting to to see, which is what fed into the anecdote that John Walk wrote at the beginning of his piece about the two of them, that Ryan was going to a recruiting visit to South Carolina and Nick was going down to Coastal. So they just happened to be in the Charlotte airport, he said.
That Charlotte airport is a hub.
It really is. We've all been there. Yeah. so that's interesting to me that there was that intersection and that they will both go on and ply their trade elsewhere. So let's talk a little bit. The last section champion that we haven't mentioned is Elko. What can we expect from them this year?
Elko had one of these guys in Braden Bohannon. They had a kid who was quarterback, a running type quarterback. They run the veer type thing. They don't throw much. He was a tremendous defensive back. He never came. What did he do? Kick and punt? And
he held for the kicks and he returned kicks. And
he never came off the field. Never. He was one of those guys.
Surf cokes in the stands.
Yeah, he did. Yes. Sweep it out, Brandon. And turn the light off.
He is, I heard the other day, he went to London Valley. Okay. He's going to try to play football and basketball at London Valley
College.
He'll
do it too. You watch.
And he's competing for the starting quarterback job as a true freshman. I don't know if he's going to start it up.
Well, that's interesting.
So anyway, they lose that.
Okay.
They've got a pretty good program, and they have these two Williams brothers.
Luke and Jake.
Who are like running back, linebacker, D-back. I mean, they're tough guys. Now, the younger of those, who was an impact guy as a freshman last year, he's injured,
Jake's
right?
Hurt. Apparently, Pat Huggins tweeted out that he has a abdominal strain or something.
I think he's going to miss week one at least.
Here's the thing. They got pushed back. But they might not miss any time.
Yeah, they didn't play. They're not going to play week one. Very interesting. Yeah. And they do not have great numbers. Elko. Even though their program has been good of late, they have not had great numbers. But they have a quarterback. This kid named Cam Thomas.
Cole Thomas.
I'm sorry. Cam Thomas, the guy I grew up with. Good God. who is a pretty solid player.
He took snaps last year. He'll be fine.
All these guys are two-way guys. They have to be. Elko's going to be okay. I don't think they're going to be as good as they were last year. When they were undefeated until they played LS, right? And gave them a decent game for a half. I don't think there's anybody, we talked about this on our show the other night. At this point a year ago, we would have said Warwick and LS, those two for sure, they're gonna win their section. They're gonna contend for a district title. They're gonna be good enough to make some noise in the states. And that turned out to be true. I don't think there's anybody in the league quite like that this year. I don't think there's that.
I mean, other than Wilson. Wilson's always
Wilson has a brutal non-league.
Yeah,
they play Central Dauphin week one, Governor Mifflin week two. They have Exeter in there. They're good. They're playing Martin Luther King out of Philly, which they know not much about.
Yeah.
And then they got Manheim Central in their crossover.
Before
they get to section one.
And also, even if Wilson is as good as they can be, that means they're going to run into St. Joseph's Prep.
Probably somewhere.
That's a problem.
If they max out, that's where you hit
that's your prize.
Which is not a high school. Which is not really high school football.
Which is a whole separate discussion. Yeah, probably best left for another show.
It is. But you know what I mean? I sort of take for granted that they're going to be there. But we also take for granted that there's a ceiling that they have to have to bump against.
They'd have to go through Whippeal to get to Hershey, and then they would get District 12.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Manheim Central, last year was their first losing season since 1971.
Isn't that amazing? I'm sure it was
handled with a plum by the citizens of Manheim.
I was two.
I was driving down here tonight on 72 through Manheim.
Yes.
And there was how they have the little banners.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I love them.
Yes.
And the first one I saw was, football is always a good idea.
Wow. Recruiting.
I'm surprised it's just a poster. I'm surprised that's not like on the
billboard
in front of the high school.
I never saw that particular thing before. Football is always a good idea.
There you go.
Well, will it be a good idea this fall is my question.
They'll be better. I mean, talk about motivated. First losing season since 71. First four-game losing streak since 77.
Oh, that I'm sure that went over well.
Yeah, and this one just blew our mind when we shared this stat the other day. They missed districts for the first time in 29 years.
Yeah.
29 that's years crazy. In a row they went to the playoffs.
Yeah. That's some consistency.
They're going to be better. Their quarterback is a good player.
Yeah.
Judd Novak. They have a receiver who's a playmaker type guy.
Alan Sensenig.
Yeah,
yes.
Thank you.
11 touchdown catches last year, led the league. More than Ivy.
Yeah. Yeah. And most of the offensive line is back.
Four starters.
They've got the usual two-way guys. I mean, you hear the names, Sensenig and I mean,
oh my gosh, it's true. It's true.
Yes.
Isn't there always somebody with the last name of K-O-L-K on the team?
You know who they have this year? They have a Fittery.
Yeah, there's always a Fittery. There's always a Fittery.
There's a Fittery. Yeah.
I mean. But the thing I heard, and this is Eric Zegler lives two doors down.
Oh, nice.
He told me there's 42 guys on the team, which strikes me as really unusually low.
That is low. Yeah, I talked to Han about that, and he said, "I think those numbers will come up shortly." He's a little concerned that they're going to dip to 4A in a year or two, but I don't know. They probably play up in 5A anyway. But yeah, numbers are a little odd there. They'll have a lot of two-way kids, but they'll be better, no doubt. And they have a tough non-league.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they play Cumberland Valley on Friday. Cumberland Valley. And they have Hemfield, and they have Wilson. So yeah, they got a tricky schedule.
Yeah, and when you don't have depth, I mean, that can really dip into your depth right away when you're playing teams like that right out of the chute. That can really affect you. And then, obviously, affect the entire season from there.
That's a big change because I don't think numbers are dramatically down all over the place. It's interesting that maybe you know better than me, Ron. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But they are down there. And I heard they're down like at Central Dauphin. They're down a little down at Cumberland Valley. Some of these brand
places.
Names, you know, but I don't know that they're down overall. Maybe they are, but
yeah, that's an oddity. Well, speaking of Manheim Central, this is something I believe you wrote in the tabloid about Penn Manor's starting quarterback. This is, again, a reminder of how old I am. Dan Kreider's son, McCabe, is the potential starting quarterback at Penn Manor.
Yeah.
As I do remember Dan Kreider, I covered Dan Kreider when he was at Manheim Central.
So, we're all showing our age.
Yeah. So, but that was interesting to me.
Sadly, he did not win the job.
He did not.
Now, Eli Warfel will play quarterback for Penn Manor, but I was told...
Oh, it's not sad for Eli.
Congratulations, Eli Warfel. Yeah. But I was told that McCabe is still in the mix, so he'll probably get some snaps.
Well, he's got some genes there working for him, I'm thinking.
A little bit. He does not have his daddy's body quite yet. He's not a fullback-looking kid like Dan was. We all remember Dan Central uniform.
He was the fullback body for Central casting.
Oh, fullback... middle backer
for
years for Manheim. He was the kid.
Here's what I remember. You know how I don't know. This is one of those oddities. Why you remember these things? I was covering a game. Manheim Central was beating Garden Spot badly, and somebody from Garden Spot went to run the ball, and Kreider came up and just tore the guy in half. And I just said, "Ooh!" And I happened to be standing behind the PA guy, and he's going, "Go stand out there."
No cheering in the press box.
But it was one of those like, ooh, how are your ribs?
Oh, man. Back in the
radio show days, Kreider played in the Big 33 game. And I had this guy on the radio show who was a Notre Dame nut.
Okay.
And he was at the Big 33 game. And the next week we were on the show and he calls in and he goes, "That dude, where's he going to school?" I said, "New Hampshire." He was like, "What? New Hampshire? I want him for the Irish, man." And he played linebacker. I don't think he played offense in a Big 33 game. I think he played linebacker.
Did he?
And he was just smacking people all
over.
He was just a tough nut.
This is a guy, I'd love to have him on this program because I'd love to know how his health is after running into linebackers in the NFL for X number of years. Because, that's...
He was really doing
he was
smacking people.
Yeah, that was his job.
He coaches at Penn Manor. He's one of Brew's assistants.
So we're just going to take that mic out to practice and say it. Follow him.
Dan, he is. Now, I haven't seen him in 2 years because of COVID, but he was smaller.
Right.
Yeah, he wasn't like beefcake guy.
That
with
happens
the muscles.
A lot.
The other thing about him is that he was a big workout nut and a sports science guy. He was pushing these sleds. I mean, I've seen him work out. He's pushing these sleds around.
Yeah,
and he was just one of those dudes. And I remember him one time, and I'm watching the play. him knocking Ray Stewart on his ass. And they ISO'd it. And I remember, I think Dick Enberg was doing the game and gave it an oh my.
Oh my.
Oh my, because he just drilled Ray Lewis, wow, who was a bowling ball himself, and yeah, knocked him backwards on his
That was the job description, run yeah into linebackers. Yeah. So, yeah. Right. So this leads me into my next question. Mm-hmm. This is obviously the 50th anniversary season of yeah LO football.
Yeah.
So is it even remotely possible to pick the 50 greatest oh players of all time? Because I'm thinking Kreider, Kerry Collins, Chad Henne, just for starters, just have to be on yeah that list, right?
Yeah,
you know, and then you go to like the Corey Joneses and the Daryl Daniels, and you know, you
and
could
the
go
Smokers yeah, and the Nagies.
Yeah,
and
I don't think you could. I mean, you could literally have 50 guys just composed of Wilson and Manheim. Yeah, in
easily.
My estimation.
Easily.
It would be so hard to do. And the obvious reason for it is the difference positions and the different,
right?
You know, how do
yeah
you
how do you judge an offensive guard against Matt Nagy? When I kicked around the idea to do the package that we did a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm, my first pitch was, how about we do the top 50 players? And then I slept on it. And I was
you
like,
can't do it.
I can't
you
do it.
You couldn't do it.
Yeah, that would be
because
you would have a hard time doing literally 500, I swear to God. I mean, yeah, for 50 years, you really would.
Yeah. You would get more negative.
Oh, yeah.
You missed this kid yeah over, hey, thanks for doing that list. That yeah was really cool.
Oh, yeah. You'd never get that.
You'll
never hear from
that
those people.
No. Yeah. I'll get the, you know, how did you not have Frankie Jones on there?
Yes.
What are you thinking, Ryan?
Well, even if you did 500, you get the parent from number
501.
Exactly. But my kid was an all-star in his sophomore year.
Stop.
Yeah, so I slept on that for one night, and then that bit the dust.
Yeah, now it's intriguing because it would be fun and interesting, but you're right.
Such
you're
a headache.
Yeah. It would have taken forever to pare it down.
Oh, God.
It would have been a nightmare.
And it's like, what criteria do you use? Because it's like you get like, you know, single-A kid at Columbia who's undoubtedly a great
yeah
player,
yep,
but how do you measure him against a guy who ended yeah up in the NFL?
That's what we run into. True. Like, for example, with picking the All-State teams every year. Like, I'm immersed in that in hoops. And
right.
Yeah, yeah, that's really a hard thing to do.
And
yeah.
I kicked around the idea of asking the schools, asking the coaches, give me your best 50. Give me your Elko best 50. Give me your Donegal best 50.
Especially if you put it on them.
Yeah, like, you do the work, yeah, and I'll put it online.
I'll make sure that I publicize, yeah, this was not done by me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll type all of it and, you know, put it on the internet.
That actually would be interesting because you would think that they would have a pretty good idea, right?
Yeah.
If they've been there
yeah
for any length of time.
Yes.
Okay.
I would not ask them to do 50, though. That's too many.
That's probably
because
too many.
That's a lot.
Maybe
more.
20?
Top 10.
Yeah.
Top 10? 10
or 20.
Even
yeah
10.
Yeah.
10, I think that would be interesting.
Yeah, that might be good. No, maybe, you know, we can still do that.
We can still do
yeah
it.
Yeah, that is interesting.
You know.
I mean, does it even have to be the coach? It could be like, you know, go to Derb, who's been there for 150 years.
Yes, he has. He's still there.
God bless him.
Oh, Derb.
You know, somebody like, I'm just throwing that name out there as an example, but there's somebody like that in every
sure
town.
Oh, there is. Yeah.
You know?
My plate's a tad full, so I was like, yeah.
You know, you think about this league. I mean, we have two NFL head coaches.
That one blows me away more than anything.
That's true.
That nugget right there
yeah
blows me away.
That's just amazing. And they were both great quarterbacks, high school and college
mm-hmm
and beyond. But they probably, neither one of them would be like one of the best two or three quarterbacks in the history of the league.
I wouldn't think.
No.
Well, Kerry Collins, I mean, he had a...
Kerry Collins.
He played forever in the NFL. To me, he's got to be number one.
Yeah. He's, well, as a high school player,
he's
I
good
might put Smoker ahead of him as a high school player.
Yeah.
Okay, that's arguable.
As a high school
player.
Although Chad Henne was also good, too.
He
started as a freshman.
I would put Smoker ahead of Chad Henne, too, as a high
Smoker
school player.
Smoker was great.
Smoker was a crazy good.
I thought
he was insane.
I'll give you a Smoker story in a second. I talked to Nagy this summer. I had to call him for a story, and he called me back on the Bears hotline. So, but anyway,
he stiffed us, by the way, for an appearance.
Oh,
of the Bears, but that doesn't matter.
But right away, it was Matt from Manheim.
Yeah.
You would have never known that he's the Chicago Bears head coach.
Well,
he's
good
asking me about LL stuff.
Yeah,
and who's going to win the LL?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
that's funny.
At the end of the conversation, I'm like, Matt, go coach the Chicago Bears. See you later, man.
Yeah,
it was hilarious.
I had exactly the same experience. They were going to play the Giants his first year with the Bears. They were going to play the Giants, and I went to their hotel
in
Jersey, talked to him.
Right?
Yeah, it was in Jersey City. and the same thing. He was like, "Who's coaching? Still Bob Locker coaching Warwick?" Yeah. You know, it was that kind of stuff. You
I
know?
Love it.
He goes,
I love
"Is Mark Evans still in Township? Yeah. Do you have anybody coming up?" I'm like, "What are you? What are you recruiting?"
Yeah, so he's still into the LL, I guess.
I love it. I love
My Jeff Smoker story, and this sounds kind of goofy. I'm sorry, but when I covered Central, and I covered Central a lot, I would go early. Uh-huh. This sounds silly, but I would go early and I'd walk the sidelines and watch Central warm up. Uh-huh. And I would watch Smoker and just what he did, you know, what he did and throwing passes, heads on a swivel. Their last little thing that they would do, they would just run go routes down the sideline, uh-huh. let her rip. And Smoker, I can still see it to this day. I can still see myself standing over there at the stadium.
Eldon Ritchie
Field. At Eldon Ritchie Field.
Eldon Ritchie.
And Smoker's throwing these darts like 50 yards down the field. On the money every time. You know, boom, right in the kid's hands, right over the shoulder. Like 10 in a row. Every time. He was great.
He really was. Now, if Carey had gotten to run a little bit more imaginative offensive system in high school... Because they didn't. They
this
ran
is true.
The ball.
That's
the ball
true.
A lot.
That was their personality. Because who was the coach then? Slemmer?
Slemmer. I was at the game at McCaskey when he threw the pass.
Yeah.
I was like 14 and I was there.
We talked about that. There was a kid named Ron Morris at McCaskey. He was the nickelback. He was supposed to be deeper than the deepest. He was the one who botched the coverage. It's a part of McCaskey lore.
That play is still on YouTube if you search hard enough. I'm sure. I think you can find it.
Every time I saw him play in high school, he would have won something like that.
Right.
Just a laser, you know.
Big
just,
arm.
Yeah, he had the arm. And he was a good athlete.
He was a good basketball player.
Good basketball player, and he got drafted in baseball.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, like it was not a high pick, you know. But
I talked to Doms about the 50-year thing and about how the game has changed over 50 years. And I think, and we talked about this, the forward pass, like mid-80 range when the spread came in. Right. And he said that's kind of... It was Collins. He said, "I think Kerry Collins really helped usher in the era of the forward pass in the LL league."
Really,
everybody kind of went from there.
I'm kind of surprised the short punt didn't catch on that one year. Eton ran the short punt.
Short punt.
It was not successful.
Was it a Casabomb call?
I forget who it was. All right, so here's a question for both of you.
Yeah.
All right, so we're 50 years in. If either of you were the LL czar for a year, what would you change about the LL football league?
Next year we're going to do this merger, but we're forgetting that.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. We'll talk about that next.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Well, I there are too many sections. I would have one fewer section and more teams in each section. I think that's generally... I think that's generally a better way to do it in so many ways. I mean, I don't want to talk for 20 minutes about it, but I think that would be a better way to do it. And you have more teams in each section.
Fewer non-league games then? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes, fewer non-league games. Because think about it. If you have a 7-team section, then you have 6 league opponents. You've got to come up with 4 non-league opponents.
That's tough.
And now they did the crossover thing the last 2 cycles. God bless Tommy Long at Anvil. Shout out Tommy.
And they did the crossover thing, which is very inequitable.
Wilson likes playing Central and vice versa? Do you think the Calico likes playing Mannheim Township for 4 years in
and
a row?
It's just... There are so many little ways that it manifests itself in terms of the power ratings you know, like Calico and LS are like 5 male students apart and they're in different sections
that
of the league. That kind of stuff. I think the more sections you have, the more you increase that kind of noise in the data overall.
Okay.
So I would restructure it in that way. Other than that,
I'd be along the same lines as Mike, and I'd get rid of the shift and limit the pitching changes.
You can't get rid of the shift.
Got to get rid of the shift. It's ruined baseball.
I disagree with that. I kind of like the shift, but be that as it may. Tommy Long, by the way, he probably would be in that 500.
Yeah,
he'd be in the 50.
Tommy Long.
The second or third leading rusher in league history.
That's a good name.
You know who I was thinking about?
He was unbelievable.
He was awesome.
I was thinking about this the other day because I saw Pat Huggins' thing on the history of the Cedar Bowl.
Yep.
Mike Kitchen.
Yes.
How good was he for a while?
Fantastic.
That one his sophomore year, he led the state in rushing. Like four weeks into the season, he led the state in rushing. He had 1,000 yards like four games into his sophomore year.
Yeah, I remember that.
I do.
And then they had the unbelievably epic game where they had Manheim Central beat at Manheim Central.
That game.
Oh, my God. I was working for the Patriot. I called the office and said, hold the presses. We got to
hold page one.
Let me rewrite.
And they end up throwing it away in the most ridiculous. But anyway, yeah. Manheim Central held him to zero.
Yeah, I remember that.
He had 13
carries for 0 yards or something like that. Yeah. I remember that.
But
they were still in the game. They still should have won the game.
They should have won. They threw it away. It was unbelievable to win. Yeah. But anyway, that Lebanon-Cedar Crest game, 41-6 Lebanon. I covered that game. If Kitchen would have been playing for Cedar Crest, it would have been 41-6 Cedar Crest.
Isn't that weird?
They couldn't tackle him, and that was the entire story.
And he wasn't a huge kid or anything.
No, he wasn't huge, but he was quick.
Shifty.
Where'd he go?
Georgia Tech.
He was really good.
Yeah.
I think he had like 1,800 yards that year. Something crazy.
Yeah. Well, he had 1,000 4 weeks in.
Yeah, he had one of the highest totals in LL history that year.
But anyway.
Yeah. So anyway, Mike Kitchen makes the 50.
He should. He's close. Yeah, this is why I didn't do this.
Yeah. We're pretty close to a top 10 already.
Yeah, I know. And you start thinking about running backs. And,
yeah.
Oh, man. It gets...
You could do the top... And I even pitched to my editor. I said I could do top 50 quarterbacks, top 50 running backs, top 50 wideouts.
That would be a lot of work.
That's a ton of work. Yeah. And I'm usually up for it, but that's an awful lot.
I mean, how do you pick... The top 50 offensive linemen, then you really got to get help, don't you?
Yeah.
Like from somebody?
Yeah. Yes.
That would be tough.
That would be really hard.
I'd have a hard time with the quarterbacks.
Limiting to 50, you're saying?
Yeah. There's been some really good kids.
50 quarterbacks?
There's been a lot of good kids.
There have been a lot, but I think it would be tough to cut it down to 10. You would really be leaving out some.
Mike Cook at CV was an excellent quarterback.
He was awesome.
That's a really
He was
good
in
example.
Cleveland Browns camp.
Yeah.
He almost played in the NFL.
Yeah.
He was really good.
He came close to playing in the NFL.
And who was the kid at Lebanon? Was it Mike Pyle? Was he a quarterback?
Mark Pyle.
Mark Pyle. Yeah. He was very comparable to what we were just talking about with Braden Bohannon.
Yeah.
I think this is right. This is insane, but I think this is right. He threw every touchdown they scored that year. He either ran or threw for it.
Yep,
that's a season.
And he kicked. And he was by light years their best defensive player.
He was the Maxwell Club Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. He went to Bucknell and played, and I think... He
played defense, didn't he, at Bucknell?
Linebacker. And I think he's a Green Beret.
Oh. Yeah.
Other than that, his
life is right.
What have you done with your life, Mark?
Yeah.
Come on now.
That's right.
Tough nut kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great.
That might have been the all-time MVP season in LL history.
Yes. How did you beat that team?
That team made districts. They were in section. They were with Manheim Central and Cocalico and LS. And they had to beat all the teams. They got killed by all of those teams.
Yeah.
They got killed by those teams. And they made districts by winning all the games they could possibly have won. Mm-hmm. You know?
Then they reached their potential then, right?
Yeah.
They beat the teams they should have beat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they lost in the first round to Dallas Town.
That sounds right. I think they lost.
Piles was he was an animal.
I remember that name. I didn't realize he was a Green Beret. Or an
Army Ranger or something.
One of those badass military.
Something
types.
I would never ever be.
It's
able
army.
To do.
It's army, and it's badass. That's what I.
That's that's the patch. But you touched on this, Mike. The league is going to expand to 37 teams next year, which means they're all the Berks teams. To me, that's
by merging
unwieldy.
With Berks County.
Yeah, that's to me that's unwieldy. But I'm curious about your perspectives on this.
Well, I would say the same problem. We don't know how this is going to be aligned.
Right.
We don't know how many sections they're going to have.
Five. It's five sections.
That's for sure?
Yes.
Well, okay, then I think you have this problem again with coming up with non-league games and with...
different numbers in different sections.
Yeah. Tommy gave people bye weeks based on who they could match up with in their section to play non-league. Like the Berks teams, like Hamburg and Fleetwood.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of gave them both the same bye week in week 8 so they can play a non-league game.
Yeah, they did that
like
kind of
natural
stuff.
Rival kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Tommy did not want to assign the crossover games like he had to do the last 4 years. Because he took a lot of crap for that. He really did. And he knew it. But he didn't want to do that again. So instead, he factored in these bye weeks. And the teams could pick their own non-league game. I'm trying not to think about next year.
I just think that's a nightmare. I just don't see how that's going to work. I mean, first of all, just the logistics of it. I mean, I don't know what the furthest game would be. But, you know, somebody from Berks playing Solanco, I hope that doesn't happen.
Like,
I mean,
Hamburg to Octorera.
Yeah, I mean, goodness, really. I mean, it's like, you might as well leave on Tuesday.
Yeah, we're going to stay. You got any hotels down there? Super 8 in Quarryville? Can you get us a room?
That's a magical phrase right there. Super 8 in Quarryville.
Say no more. Yeah.
I try not to look at it as a reporter guy who covers the league. Right. You know, because I got to kind of look at it as, is this good for the schools? Is it good for the...
I hear you.
You know, I'm trying to look at it that way. Is it a ton of work for us? Yeah, but...
I mean, this thing will be a little different next year.
Hopefully we get our 42 pages back. That would be nice. Right. Start buying advertising, please.
Yeah, please.
Covering 24... I've been saying this for years, but covering 24 teams is a nightmare. Covering 37...
I don't get it.
With 13 schools that I really don't know much about. Yeah. I know a little bit, but I don't know I don't know. I'm like, I know Mannheim Central.
Right.
Or Mannheim Township.
I don't know. I'm not a fan, personally.
I mean, we try to cover almost every high school game on a Friday night. I mean, that's... You're talking about... We're going to cover 17 games tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. What happens when you have a 37-team
league? No idea.
I mean, where are we
I'm gonna give you these three words. Don't call me.
Don't call me. I'll tell her. I'll make
okay.
sure.
All right, I'll make sure it now. I had my hopes up.
I mean, I'm sure you did.
but
logistically, that's gonna be a total nightmare. I don't know how we're
really
gonna
be difficult. And what we are probably gonna have to do is just accept that we can't do it all.
We can't be there.
Which is something we've done the last couple of years in a lot of areas, unfortunately. I mean, that's just...
Well, and also, what are the deadlines on Fridays these days?
Well, we were told today that they were pushed back.
We got some good news on that front today.
11 o'clock.
I almost started crying when I saw that.
I might actually, make it home and not right in my car.
Here's something that may not be great for the readers, but it's a relief in terms of my... sanity is they want the story before they have the box score. And we may not run all the box scores on...
No, the box scores are going to be in the Sunday paper.
Box scores are going to be in the Sunday
don't paper. Send me any nasty emails. We all have to work on deadline Friday night. So the clean, fresh, updated, nice, mint box scores will be in Sunday morning.
So seriously, we might be able to do a little more with post-game interviews. We might be able to talk to kids.
I barely got quotes after games.
Yeah, that's
I'm filing 20 inches with no... And I hate that. Yeah. I mean, I apologized to the guys when I got there. I said, hey, I may not talk to you after the game.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And you know me.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah. That's part of the game. We might be able to... I mean, I regarded that email today as generally good news.
You can at least, you know, write a representative story.
Yeah.
45 minutes is better than 20 day when you've got to root through your...
Because if I can write the story and then go home and kind of wade through the box score, I think the box score would be more accurate for one thing. That'll be a load off.
Last thing on this merger, we'll mention it, I'm sure, next year. We'll talk about it a ton. But Section 4 next year?
Yeah.
Section 4.
The way this league looks like it's going to be set up.
Cocalico, LS, Berks Catholic, Wyomissing, Elko, Octorera. There might be one more in there. But LS, Cocalico, Berks Catholic, Wyomissing. I mean, talk about murderer's row for high school football.
That's pretty strong.
That's a heck of a section.
How far is it from Octorera to Wyomissing? That's got to be a good size bus trip.
Over an hour. That's in traffic. Yeah, the longest off the top of my head is probably Hamburg, because that's way out. Hamburg to Octorera could be a... Pack snacks, man. Pack some snacks.
Hamburg is like, pass through Hamburg on the way to... go to New York to get my kid,
Get some drive-through. I haven't heard much pushback. I've had the random one or two coaches in the last year say, I don't know. But for the most part, I thought it was pretty well received.
Yeah, I think part of it is that a lot of our coaches are not thrilled with the way the league is set up now.
Not at all.
So they're kind of thinking, look at this as a little bit of an improvement. I remember when they announced this, I saw Dave Hahn, and he said, let's do this right now. Let's do this year.
Yeah, really?
Because he just, I think that was more a comment on the way things are set up now in our league.
He doesn't want to play Wilson anymore, and Wilson doesn't want to play Central.
Yeah, there's a lot of that kind of stuff. And then the other thing they did is Lebanon and Ephrata were two pretty big schools that really were overmatched against other big schools and struggled for a long time in football. And they moved them down and then created this five-section crossover thing.
But they're putting them where they belong in the next cycle.
Yeah.
Because they let them...
Going forward, they'll be back up.
Because they let them play 4 years down, and voila, they both won for 4 years.
Yeah, they've started to win again. They've started to win and have some success. But
it's like, yeah, I mean, I get it from the standpoint of, okay, this is your classification, but... Look at the school. Yeah. Look at it. It's got to be more of a case by case thing.
Yeah, it does. It does. And you know, when we were in high school, it was all based on traditional strength. It wasn't geographical, this heavily enrollment based thing. It was more, as you said, geographical plus traditional.
I applauded them for letting them go down, but yeah, I don't know.
Well, when they did that, then they added a section and added crossovers. Those two things together, I didn't like. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if we solved all the league's problems, can we?
What a relief!
Thank God we have this think tank every week.
Tommy, I'm coming for your job. Yeah. All right.
He can call us anytime.
Yeah. And he does a great job with the hand he's been dealt.
Right.
I mean, it's not an ideal hand, but what the hand he's been dealt, he does a great job.
Yes.
He does. And he'll have a lot more on his plate next year.
And when we get that list together of the greatest players in the league, we'll be happy to tell him about it. We'll send him his plaque.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. A plaque. He's top 10, man. He's top 10. He's up there.
So, Jeff, thank you. And Mike, thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. So we'll talk to you again soon.